Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Before I start, I wanted to share a little background about this. Jesus is speaking to a crowd, and an unspecified crowd, and calling on them to repent and lead fruitful lives. Some who were present on that occasion told Jesus about the Galileans whom Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices. He replied, "Do you think the suffering of these Galileans proves that they were more sinful than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you change your hearts and lives, you will die just as they did. What about those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think that they were more guilty of wrongdoing than everyone else who lives in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you change your hearts and lives, you will die just as they did." Jesus told this parable. A man owned a fig tree, planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it and found none. He said to his gardener, "Look, I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree for the past 3 years, and I've never found any. Cut it down. Why should it continue depleting the soil's nutrients?" The gardener responded, "Lord, give it one more year, and I will dig around it and give it fertilizer. Maybe it will produce fruit next year. If not, then you can cut it down." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lent is a reminder of 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, feeling hunger, thirst, temptation. He was prepared by this journey. This Lent, prepare for Easter by giving up, by giving in to God.
I remember being in junior high school, my very first speech class. I had to speak for 2 minutes. I was in sixth grade. I had to say my name, and I had to say what elementary school I came from, and I had to share an interesting fact about myself. I had to talk for 2 minutes. It was the longest 2 minutes of my life. You've heard me say this statistic before. When it comes to people ranking their fears, the top fear is death. You know what's, number two is death. You know what number one is? Public speaking. I never expected to be comfortable speaking in public. It was the longest 2 minutes of my life. Now, I'm not going to say whether or not I think I'm any good at it. You all can talk about that amongst yourselves. But I never expected to be comfortable with it. But here I am every week. About 18 to 20 minutes, sometimes 24. I time it. I never expected to do the things that I do on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. I don't know if it's the same for any of you. When you look at where you are now, did you expect to be where you are now? Maybe you expected more. Maybe you expected less. For many of us, I suggest we probably just expected different. I never expected to be a software engineer. That's what I was before I was working in church. I was a software engineer. I was a software integration engineer for a company called Kinko's. You've probably heard of them. developing and integrating software platforms to distribute to 1,100 branches around the country. I was part of a team, and we were pretty good at what we did. And I expected that I would just be a geek, a nerd my whole life. Well, actually, that part's true. But I expected to be working in tech that whole time. I didn't expect to be standing in front of a church with incredible music and people looking at me as though what I have to say might remotely be important, with who knows how many more are online. I never expected to move to Grand Island, Nebraska, and to be changed by relationships and learn new ways of doing ministry and to become a hardcore Cornhusker fan. I didn't expect, you know, I talked about it last week, I didn't expect to break a tooth and have to go to the dentist. I also didn't expect to still have a broken tooth because they tried to charge me $1,000 for a crown and I said no. Still working that out. I expected to be a dad. I didn't expect this remarkable and incredible love and relationship with two kids who I think are the greatest human beings on the planet. And the most gifted and the most talented and the most compassionate and the most hilarious. What'd you say? You can't say I disagree. You can't. I didn't expect to be experiencing divorce. I didn't expect to be the conference secretary in an annual conference, trading emails with the bishop. What? Those are for more important people. I didn't expect to be the senior pastor of La Jolla United Methodist Church. My friends, this church has a reputation and a status. You all are pretty incredible people. And it is a privilege to serve amongst you. I wonder what expectations you have had that may have been met and maybe haven't. I think that our expectations are a pervasive part of our culture. Not particular expectations necessarily, but that we all have expectations. I think it's a common thing in our culture that we have expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, sometimes we react. Especially when, like, we don't achieve those expectations. They come out in a way that maybe isn't what we would prefer. Sometimes we can react negatively to those things. That's okay. We also react when we surpass those expectations. I think it is a cultural thing to have expectations, and then when something different happens, to react. I didn't expect... I didn't expect a guy from reality TV to be elected president. I'm not saying anything positive or negative about Mr. Trump. I'm just saying I didn't expect it. I watched the Apprentice. I thought it was funny. I didn't expect that dude to be president. I didn't expect to see a dramatic and statistically significant increase in hate crimes in my life. I didn't expect... Remember, I'm an IT guy, right? I didn't expect computers to be able to be as powerful as they are, or to have these devices like iPads and phones and things that do the incredible things that they do. I didn't expect us to be talking about going to Mars. I did expect flying cars a la the Jetsons, and I haven't seen that yet. I didn't expect to build incredible relationships, meaningful and incredible relationships with people who are experiencing homelessness. I didn't expect to hear such harmful and hateful things from people saying, well, the reason that those folks are homeless is because they're lazy, or because they're criminals, or because they just don't work hard enough. Because to a person, these are the strongest, most remarkable people I know. I didn't expect, as a culture, we would categorize folks in the ways that we do people experiencing homelessness. Because we have a tendency, don't we, to place that expectation that if you are not successful, if you are not achieving those high expectations, then you must have done something wrong. Don't we do that? If you don't make it, if you don't achieve, then you haven't worked hard enough. You've messed it up. Maybe you're being punished for some wrongdoing. We do that, don't we? I think it's important to acknowledge that we do that, because we can't change it unless we acknowledge it, right? But also, like, let's not fall into the trap of this is a new thing. We've been doing this for a long time. We've been taught to do it. We've been taught other lessons, but I'm not sure we bought into that. But in our text today, we are reminded that we are taught to think about people that way. There were some who were present on that occasion, and they told Jesus about the Galileans whom Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices. Do you think that the suffering of these Galileans proves that they were more sinful than all the other Galileans? Because the assumption in this story goes back to the book of Job, goes back even to the Deuteronomy. That can tell us things like what Job's friends, throughout their conversations with him, particularly early in Job, told him, well, you must have done something wrong. Job's last friend says, where is it? I have it here. One of Job's friends says, well, if you will seek God and make supplication to the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, surely God will rouse himself for you. Another friend basically says it could be worse. Know then that God exacts of you less than your guilt deserves. Deuteronomy 28, Job 4, Proverbs 10, Ezekiel 18. All assert that obedience to the Torah brings blessings and disobedience brings curse. But in the presence and in the ministry of Christ, God does a new thing, and I would say an unexpected thing. Jesus says, do you think that the suffering of these Galileans proves that they were more sinful than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you. What about those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think that they were more guilty of wrongdoing than everyone else who lives in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. Jesus takes this theology that if you say the right words and do the right things, you'll get blessed. But if you don't, you'll be like my friends who live on the street in Pacific Beach. Jesus takes this and throws it out. And I would suggest says that God is not only doing a new thing, but doing an unexpected thing. How many times when we think about our church, If you want to think about this church, if you want to think about the denomination, if you want to think about the capital C worldwide church, how many times do we have an expectation of what the church must or should do? And find that maybe God does a new thing and does it better. You know, I said I never expected to stand up here in front of you people all looking at me like I have something good to say. But I will tell you, this is better than I ever could have planned. I personally feel fulfilled because I feel like God is using me. I know, I've been in conversation with some of you who feel like God is using you, and I wonder if you feel like God is using you in a way that you never saw coming, that you never expected. You know, we had a visioning event with Bishop Grant. It's been a few months now. I've spent the last 3 months interviewing various clergy coaches. For you who are present at that, I need to send y'all an email. But I've spent the last 3 months interviewing clergy coaches. I think we're going to land on somebody. I gotta send y'all some information. But one of the things that I love about the way Bishop Grant did that, and the way that I think about what we need as an opportunity to vision for the future of our church, is we need to have permission to not feel constrained by our own expectations, which often show up in terms of, well, this is the way, you know, the building is built, or this is what the budget looks like, or whatever. And I'm just pretty sure God's bigger than buildings and budgets. Because the most profound things happen when we can get out of the way and let God do God's unexpected and beautiful thing. And I think that's reflected in the next part of our text, where Jesus tells a parable about a man who owns a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he comes looking for it and he doesn't find any fruit. We all know about the phrase about bearing fruit. So says to the gardener, look, I keep coming to this fig tree, never find any fruit, just cut it down. And what I love about the gardener says, let me put some more work into it. But listen, I don't know how many of you garden, but is there some magical formula for gardening, or is it different for every single thing? Is it different in every single circumstance? The soil is different, and the plant is different, and the nutrients are different, and the weather is different, and it's all different. The gardener has no right to expect what he expects. I wonder if we can open ourselves to something well beyond our personal expectations, to be open to what God can do, with no right to be hopeful, and to be hopeful anyway, because we have faith and trust in a God who is bigger than we are, who is smarter than we are, who knows more than we are, than we do. And to step boldly into the unexpected that God is already doing. It was written this way just a few years ago by a theologian by the name of, you may have heard of him, Michael B. Curry, who says, Jesus tells a parable about a gardener determined to tend a fruitless fig tree because he is open to a future possibility that he does not control or manage. Facing the reality of mystery and the limits of what we can know is not an excuse to stand still and look sad. My friends, as we try to come out of a global pandemic, as we try to come out of a national decline in Christian religiosity, are we going to stand and look sad? Or are we going to be open with deep and amazing hope at the new thing that God can do? And are we going to limit that with our buildings and our budgets? Or are we going to vision and dream, like young people and old people? And friends, we have an opportunity to give up our expectations and experience the infinite God of creation. This is a time for hope. This is a time for excitement. This is a time for God. Amen. Friends, each week we try to take a moment and to understand something that we might do to respond out of this time of worship together. I would like to invite you over the course of this next week to think about something that you expect, to think about something and then let that expectation go. That doesn't mean don't have any agency. That doesn't mean give up everything. That doesn't mean throw up your hands. It doesn't mean stand and look sad. It means be open to something better because God is involved. And if you'd tell me about that, I'd appreciate it.